Dr. Larry Kaskel. You should listen to him if you know what's good for you. Of course, you should listen to him even if you don't know what's good for you. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
The American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery reports that there are over 10 million cosmetic surgery procedures each year in America. With so many health risks and mistakes made during these procedures, Dr. Sanjeev Saini of MD Dermatology is joining me today to discuss how to look years younger without actually going under the knife, as they say. Dr. Saini, what are some of the non-surgical procedures we can do so that we don't risk death by having something done electively?
Larry, I'm Dr. Kaskel. I'm so glad you mentioned that because the most important thing is safety. If anyone, I'm a cosmetic surgery patient myself. I get Botox done regularly, but safety first, and that's one of the most important things. Everyone's heard of Botox, but there are other things that can be done also. One is to numb up the muscles to avoid those wrinkle and frown lines. The mm-hmm. other things that have also been used are fillers, and these are the things when someone starts to get deeper folds as they get older. There's some wonderful fillers that are on the market now that have a proven safety record that can be used to even out these wrinkles. And one of the latest technologies that we're very excited about are using lasers through fiber optic lasers that are actually done to liquefy fat and to extract the fat, and then they're used to actually tighten the skin and thicken the skin in a way that no other laser has been able to do in the past. This technology is 4 years old now and with proven track record, and the neck contouring results from this we are thoroughly excited about, and this is a precision TX laser that's done. These incisions that are done are teeny tiny, just barely bigger than the head of a pen. And then some of the other things people, I also recommend routinely for people are exercising, eating their veggies, getting plenty of rest, eating fruits with antioxidants, blueberries over and over again, come back as being an excellent source of antioxidants. Three servings.
How about smoking cigarettes? Where does smoking cigarettes come into affecting skin and your appearance and your age?
Oh, it's amazing. One of the reasons why I absolutely love being a dermatologist is I have a saying that by age 40, your life shows on your face. And playing a guessing game the moment I walk into a room and visit with a patient is trying to guess. And pretty much you can get very accurate on how many pack years someone's been smoking, and cigarettes, absolutely no. If someone
Can you actually see changes in their skin if they were to quit smoking within a few months or a year, or is it all irreversible?
Some is irreversible. I've had some, but some is also once you stop, the damage that's accumulating stops, so your skin does have a chance to restore itself and to regenerate itself. Accumulated changes, it comes down to how many packs a day someone is smoking. If someone's smoking two packs a day, I think virtually everyone can guess that person's a smoker. I have seen people who stopped smoking 20 years ago, and clearly their skin actually can look as if it's almost back towards normal to where they would have been had they not never been a smoker.
Dr. Saini, we hear all the time about sleep deprivation for pretty much every disease state under the sun, that it's better for us if we can get some more sleep. So how does sleep get associated with our skin and our appearance?
It goes also, part of it is the fact that you cannot have healthy skin unless you have overall good health. And one of the things is lack of sleep. You can see it in someone's eyes. I mean, it reflects directly in the face, getting those dark circles. All of it gets aggravated. And stress actually does aggravate skin disorders. There have been several skin disorders, acne, psoriasis, couple of other disorders which have also been studied where as stress increases, those rosacea, all of those disorders also get worse with the sleep deprivation. So sleep is an essential component to overall good health and skin health too.
And the other thing we always hear about is sun exposure. We're told kind of conflicting things about the sun, that we need to get in the sun so that we can increase our vitamin D, but at the same time, we're putting ourselves at risk for skin cancer. So how do you walk that fine line? What do you tell your patients to do in terms of the sun?
I think that's an excellent comment. It's kind of like gardening. You want a little bit of water, but you don't want to flood your garden with too much water. And studies have shown that one of the best sources of vitamin D production is your own skin, but you only need 10 minutes 2 to 3 times a week to be able to get the vitamin D that the average person needs. Vitamin supplements are excellent also, but getting too much sun, there's a direct relationship between how much sun exposure someone gets in their life and their incidence and risk of skin cancer. So that's a very good thing. There also I wanted to touch base on is there are very, very good sunscreens that are on the market now. My favorite ones are ones that incorporate zinc oxide into them. And used on a daily basis, they can actually be used by someone under their foundation or even on top of their foundation, believe it or not, that can vanish into the skin and provide very good sun protection. Those zinc oxide ones actually block out all the wavelengths of light.
At the beginning of the show, Dr. Saini, you touched a little bit about safety first. How does a patient know that their dermatologist is practicing optimal safety? Is there a website they can go to, or are they just playing craps when they go pick a doctor?
I think experience is always an essential component. How long have they been doing it? How did they receive their training? Something simple can go wrong very quickly if it's not done in the right hands. Even look at their office. See how clean their office is. What is their training? How many of these procedures have they done? Have they done a fellowship where they've also done training in the procedures? Or did they go to a weekend course to learn how to do these procedures? And
right,
I think the other thing is if they also are involved in teaching. If someone's involved in teaching, they've got to be at the top of their game, because if they're teaching peers and they're also giving, they're involved in publishing or teaching, that goes to also standing for a different level of quality too.
We have about a minute left, Dr. Saini. I have to ask, what do you think happened to Joan Rivers? What would you have done if she came to see you? Would you say, Joan, I think it's enough. I think you've done enough. We don't have to do much more. Do you ever just say no?
Yes. I think the thing is, my saying is, you get one facelift in your lifetime, and there's a time, and going to a second facelift, it goes beyond being natural. And like I alluded to earlier, one of the technologies that's absolutely stunning is this laser technology that is done minimally invasive. It's an hour and a half long procedure, but it can do things that can give someone what a facelift had to be done in the past. But there's some brilliant technologies on the future coming out right now that are just absolutely exciting.
Well, on that note, I think we'll leave it there, that patients should try and avoid the invasive stuff and go to a doctor that knows what he's doing, has been doing it for a while. And this was good information. If you'd like to learn more about how you can look younger without having invasive surgery, go to Dr. Saini's website at www.mddermatology.com. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic, reminding you to never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.